Our series on Notes from the Road continues today. Asheville-based musician Christine Kane explains why her life on tour does not resemble a photo spread in a glossy magazine.
You know all of those pictures you see in the first pages of Rolling Stone magazine? The ones of the famous people at the famous backstage parties with martinis in hand and cigarettes dangling from their mouths. Sometimes when you're living the touring artist life, maybe it's when you haven't slept enough or you've eaten one too many gorditas at Taco Bell in the course of a week, you can get to thinking, should my life look more like those pictures? Shouldn't I have at least hung out with, say, Lenny Kravitz by now and had martinis and dangled our cigarettes while a photographer who has an upcoming rock and roll coffee table book snapped us in our moment of infinite hipness? When you're in a particularly messed up state of mind, which usually means you haven't written a song in a while, the answer you'll hear is a resounding yes. But if you're lucky, you have dear friends who love you very much, and they will listen to you go on, and then remind you that you can't even have a glass of wine without telling a joke that offends everyone present, and then falling asleep on the nearest couch. Martinis, they will conclude, are probably not a good idea. And besides, Lenny Kravitz never takes off his sunglasses. How much fun could he really be? Mark Twain's advice is, when in doubt, tell the truth. So here's the truth. I have a new CD out, and I've been touring all over the country. My life resembles Rolling Stone magazine, not in the least. If someone was, in fact, snapping shots during my tours, here's a possible layout of photos. I am only wearing sunglasses in some of them. The first photo, me at the Asheville Mall. I have decided to buy a new suitcase. Billy Jonas has recommended a brand I keep calling Briggs & Stratton. But the woman at the luggage store tells me that no, Briggs & Stratton makes lawnmower engines. She tells me that what I'm looking for is Briggs & Riley. I then proceed to purchase the U28NX, which is the biggest suitcase I've ever seen in my life. The next photo would be of me packing the suitcase that night and saying loudly, "Wow, look at all this space! I can bring everything!" And then there would be a photo of me trying to lift the U28NX into the back of my car at 5 a.m. the next morning, and still another would show me having to park about a mile from the airport entrance and wheeling this monolith across about 45 parking lots to the check-in, all the while wondering if Briggs & Riley ever considered offering a Sherpa with every U28NX purchase. Then there's my first night on the road after a show, me unloading my car in a very full Holiday Inn parking lot at 2 a.m. Out from the swamp of vehicles appears a skinny man with a mustache wearing jeans and a t-shirt. He walks up, watches me working for about 3 minutes, lights up a cigarette, and asks in a conspiratorial voice that sounds like gravel and guns, "You in town for the car show?" The photo wouldn't be able to capture this, of course, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, I should probably be more careful when I travel. There would be about 6 different photos of me eating breakfast at Moe's Restaurant in Terminal C of the Cincinnati Airport, where I make my flight connections. In all 6 photos, the scrambled eggs consistently and disturbingly taste like movie popcorn. There would be a beautiful photo of a seaplane landing in the water, with sparkly downtown Seattle in the background. I am the only passenger, and I'm smiling like a maniac because I love the feeling of landing on the water more than anything. I then look at the pilot and say, "Ooh! Is that where Tom Hanks lived in Sleepless in Seattle?" And the pilot looks at me as if to say, "We just had a perfect flight with a perfect landing. Is that really the only question you could come up with?" Another scenic photo would show the view from my hotel room at the Milwaukee airport. I open the curtains to discover that my room looks out not onto, but into a concrete hallway illumined by a lone bare light bulb. There is a staircase going down, I can only presume, into hell. I stand in stunned silence, thinking how all that's missing is the sound of a single steady drip of water and Anthony Hopkins cuffed to the wall. There would be a shot of me at the Container Store. I am gleefully buying items that I will eventually discover I don't really need. Then there's a shot of me in my dressing room prior to a performance. I see the local alternative paper on the coffee table. I notice that my CD has been reviewed. From the first sentence, every rational voice in my head begins to chant, "Do not read this, do not read this." But I become the rubbernecking bystander at a very gory accident, who sees the bloody body parts and can't tear herself away. The review trashes me, compares me to Oprah, the reviewer's not a big fan, and to Sarah McLachlan, not a fan of hers either, accuses me of having no emotional depth, and then finishes up with a quote from the lead singer of Cracker about the uselessness of folk singers. At that moment, my friend and fellow songwriter Steve Seskin calls my cell phone. I tell him about the review. I ask him to stay on the line and let me cry, even though logically I know all the reasons why I shouldn't care about a mean-spirited review. I tell him that I have to go on stage in 15 minutes, and he just has to deal with me being devastated without trying to fix it. Then there's a long moment where he lets me cry and says nothing, and then Steve, who simply cannot not try to fix things, says softly and earnestly, "But we like Oprah." There would be two shots of the San Francisco airport lined up side by side. One would show a massive pile of luggage, airline-resistant guitar case, the U-28NX, a purse, and a rolling computer bag. The other would be an aerial shot of the airport itself, which would show the distance, in miles, one would have to carry that pile of luggage to get from baggage claim to the rental car area. And there would be a caption, which would read, "Ow." The last photo would be taken on my birthday. I've just arrived home, and I'm at a restaurant with Mickey and some of our friends. Everyone has ordered the promotional martini, which comes with a kicky little neon stick like the kind you buy at the boardwalk at night and toss around on the beach. It is my first martini ever, and it tastes like cough medicine. After the meal, everyone is getting up to leave the table, and I'm still sitting with Mickey. I have taken two of the neon sticks and put one in each of my nostrils. I turn to him and stare at him as deadpan as I can get. He shakes his head and says, "You're such a rock star." Thank God I'm not.
Christine Kane's most recent CD is called Right Out of Nowhere. Her tour schedule is online at Christine with a C, Kane with a K, .com.
This is the way I see it. This is the life I live. And this is the how-to book for the heart I give.
That's the state of things for today. Thanks for listening. If you have a comment on our show, you can drop us an email at sot@wunc.org. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Frank Stasio.
Here's all the sounds I've heard, tangled in the nothingness of the spoken word. Hey, don't you know I'm laying way too low? I'm on my knees, I'll pick myself up if you let me go.